was asking myself.
I wonder what the church did bad because they got stuck with me. This is a sermon I prepared a while ago, and it's placed in my heart. I'm going to ask
a question,
and I'm going to ask you to be really, really honest. Has there ever been a time that you doubted your salvation? That even though you had said you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, later on, you thought that your life or your behavior or your attitude or those secret sins that we don't talk about, that you had lost your salvation? If you've ever felt that, raise your hand. Okay. I wrote this sermon because I'm dealing with people that are listening to that lie. There are over 50 scriptures in here that guarantee you eternal salvation. So I'm going to share them with you. So I titled this, Do You Have a Hope-So Salvation or a No-So Salvation? Now, there's other denominations out there that are going to teach you that you are saved through grace, but you keep it through works. And I'm going to show you that's just not true. How many people believe that God's word does not lie? I didn't see everybody raise their hand. That's scary. Okay, well, my text that we're going to start with today is John 10, 27 through 30. But first, let me give you a little illustration. A little boy about 10 years old was standing before a shoe store on the roadway, barefooted and peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the boy and said, My little fellow, why are you looking so earnestly in that window? He said, I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes, was the boy's reply. The lady took him by the hand and went into the store and asked the clerk to get a half a dozen pairs of socks for the boy. She then asked if she could have a bowl of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little fellow to the back of the store and removed her gloves, knelt down, washed his little feet, and dried them with the towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks. Placing a pair upon the boy's feet, she purchased him a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pairs of socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head and said, She actually said she went out and bought him a pair of shoes too. Okay. She said, no doubt, my little fellow, are you more comfortable now? As she turned to go, the astonished lad caught her by the hand, looking up in the face with tears in his eyes, answered, Are you God's wife? See the faith? The little boy didn't have a, I hope so, with God. When his prayer was answered, and it was by this little old lady, he had to figure, because there was no confusion back then about whether you're male or female, husband and wife, you know, that must be God's wife. Oh, the faith of a child. Well, he didn't have a hope so of salvation. He had a I know so. So the first thing, if you want to know if you're saved, is you got to get saved. Okay, you have to realize you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself, but you need salvation. Romans 3:23 says what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I know, and I'm going to tell you right now, when I come in here, I'm not going to take for granted that everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I know people have been going to church for 40 years, and they still don't have that relationship. They have book knowledge and head knowledge, but they haven't accepted it and put it in here yet because they're doubting, what happens if I'm wrong? I'm going to have to give up all this worldly stuff that I enjoy doing if I accept Christ as my Savior, because good Christian people don't do those things anymore. Oh, man, I got to give up cussing. I got to give up drinking. You know, every once in a while, I like to have a good fight. I can give all that up. In other words, you'll be giving up is the things we talked and had on our prayer list earlier. You'll be giving up hurt. You'll be giving up pain. You'll be giving up suffering. You'll be giving up hopelessness. Now, do we still go through things in life? Yes. And in time, we get an understanding as we spiritually mature God reveals little by little his ultimate wisdom. But look at other things we're giving up. I mean, I know this, when I turned my life over to Christ, I gave up a lot of things that I wasn't going to jail anymore for beating up anybody or getting drunk. Okay? I wasn't, you know, having to rob Peter to pay Paul because I was living worldly and blowing my money. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. Let's get back to this deal here. Okay? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Didn't say you might be saved or you'll be saved later. It says you shall. Now, everybody knows the word shall means that's it. It's done. Okay? Romans 10:9. God also stated that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, the word shall be saved was put in there by God, his word. Have faith in God's grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so no man can boast. What did it just say here? It's not of works. See, people say you get saved by grace, you got to keep it through works. This says it's got nothing to do with works.
You were saved strictly through grace.
It's a gift. Kim, I got a gift for you. Come here. I got that at the Bible Museum. It's for you. Okay. Okay. Now, do you know what? I offered him a gift, but it wasn't his until he came up and did what? He received it. God has offered salvation to everyone. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Did you have to pay me for that gift? Did you have to go work on my truck or wash my truck or do anything? It was free, right? Okay. And that's nothing, man. You'll see the gift God's got for you. We sit here and have scriptures that say things and we don't really realize what they mean. So if I can't get salvation through works, right? What makes me think I can keep it through works? I shall be saved. I'm saved. You know, do we backslide as Christians? Sure we do. You know, I kind of like to paint a picture in people's mind, use analogies. Okay, I was in this deep, dark jungle, okay? And I found this path called Jesus Christ that led me out. And now I'm out of this deep, dark jungle. But life kind of got routine, whatever, whatever. So I kind of like slipped back into the jungle. Did I lose my way? I still know the path how to get out, don't I? I didn't lose my salvation because Jesus Christ is my salvation. Jesus Christ is the path. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how can I get lost again when I was once lost and now I'm found? So what happens when you accept Christ? Romans 8:16 states that you become one of God's children. Because you're one of his children, you become his joint heirs. This isn't a might be things you're going to get. This is what it states in God's word. Let's look at it. 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, how many people in here have children? Has your child ever done bad things? Are they still your child? Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Right? Let's look at 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And again, we're going to be glorified because we're going to be living with Jesus Christ for all eternity. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. That's another reason why some people don't want to get saved. Because they know that Jesus Christ is going to be living in them since the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, lives in you, and that's that little still, small
voice. Listen, he says,
you shouldn't be doing that. Okay? That's not right. Cheating on your taxes. Lusting after that woman. Road rage. Is that me?
Yeah.
But those things used to be okay for us. We didn't have a problem because we didn't have that Christ-like conscience in us that the Holy Spirit places in us. What does it make us now? This is the vessel that Jesus Christ lives in, right? In the Old Testament, he stayed in the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God, all being the Trinity, stayed in the Holy of Holies, right? Now, behind the tabernacle, behind the shroud, right? Now, that shroud has been ripped open. The Holy Spirit is out here. And when we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he comes into us. So what does that make our body? A temple, right? So the shell is still, I can't wait till the rapture when I get that incorruptible body. Because even though this shell, so basically what I'm trying to say, let me get short.
Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Holy
Spirit lives in a shack named Jeff Bigelow. He lives in a shack named Kent, okay? We live in a sinful body, and God chose to dwell inside of us to help guide us through this sick and suffering world. Free gift. I don't understand how people live without him. I don't understand how long I lived without him. Makes no sense to me. You are promised eternal life in John 3:16 that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. Eternal means forever. So how can you lose it? Forever is forever. It sounds redundant, everything I'm saying, doesn't it? I'm beating it in the ground, aren't I? That's because even though you walk out the door, the world, well, we'll get to that. That's another part of my sermon. Okay. It says, God goes and prepare a place for you in his Father's house in John 14:1-3. I happen to save that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Does anybody know about the marriage ritual in Israel in the ancient, you know, Old Testament days? I want to have a wife. I go to the woman, we become betrothed. I then leave and go back to my father's house, and I start building the house for me and my bride to live in. Until the father says, the house is done, I cannot go back and pick up my bride yet. But when the father approves of the house I built, he will say, go get your bride. And then I will go and get my bride, and we will go into that house, that mansion, forever. Because we are supposed to, nothing's supposed to separate us. So here's another illustration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus Christ will come back to take his bride home. Did y'all know that? Okay, then I'm not teaching anything new. We're just having a review, right? How does one know that they are truly saved? Well, God cannot lie. And if he said he'll do it, he will do it. So let me read here John 10:27-30, which is what the focus was. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How many times have we heard that word shall? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Another illustration. I am in Jesus' hand. Scripture just said, no man can pluck me out. Guess who that no man is?
Only you can pluck me out, but I can't pluck myself out. Now, I'm in Jesus' hand, Jesus is in the Father's hand, and this is a double recertification and affirmation. No one can get Jesus out of the Father's hand. They are one. Unless the scriptures lie, which they don't, this right here proves you cannot lose your salvation. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying that he is God and God cannot lie because he is truth. He is the author of truth, not the world that we live in. I sit here every day, and I was talking earlier, I've got people, and you know, every church has them, every business has them, but this is where we come to become spiritually mature. You know, the Bible talks about when I was a babe, I spoke as a babe, and then, you know, I was eating infamil with iron back then, and now I got to get some solid food. And as we grow spiritually and we learn more about God, and what his purpose for us is to be the maximum service to our fellow man, to serve God, to glorify him. The world will tell us that it's all about me. I've got a guy, I'm not going to name any names, works with me on the men's ministry. He thinks because he's a recruiter in his business that God placed him at our church because he's going to be able to recruit people to make our men's ministry bigger and stronger. It's all about promotion and advertisement, signs and this and that. And I tell you people, that's not what it's about. Because in the world today, it will tell you that to promote something, don't tell them the whole truth. Just show them the shiny part. You know? Take some cow dung, wrap it up in nice shiny foil, and people will buy it. Come on, we know how it is in the world. We lie and we deceive and we manipulate, and then we sit down there and say, look how good I am at my job. Then we go into church and we think we're going to take those life skills that the world taught us and bring them into a spiritual building and a spiritual fellowship and apply them. We need a renewing of our mind. We need to get rid of those things, okay? Again, I'm chasing another rabbit. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. But let me explain to you why I did that. First of all, let's get back to about being saved. All you need to do and get honest with yourself is, were you truly sincere when you went up and asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Or did you figure I better just cover my bases? The only person who can answer that is you. If you know that you were 100% honest and you turn around and say, Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I know I don't deserve this, but Lord, please come into my life today. I will make you Lord of my life. Accept me with all my failings. I believe that you were dead, buried, and God rose you from the dead like the scriptures say. You shall be saved. Shall. You were sincere, you're saved. If you're truly saved, how can you be lost then? 1 John 5:11-13, I'm almost near the end, because I know it sees it close to football time. And this is the testimony of God. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whosoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have, here's the key word again, eternal life. I mean, I'm just giving you a few scriptures. Like I said, there's 50 more. But there's someone out there, and there's churches out there today that are teaching that you can lose your salvation, and they're false teachings. Bible talks about this stuff, and they're cursed. You're saved through grace, but you have to keep it through works. That's what they're teaching. That's wrong. There are certain sins that God could not forgive. That's a man-made myth. That's our hearts. You ever had somebody do something to you, and I'll never forgive them. They did me this, this, and this. Okay. That's man's concepts, man's thinking that we are trying to institute into a holy God who is perfect. Is a thief any better than a liar? We're the ones that put sins on levels, right? Oh, this sin is worse. That's man-made. If I steal from you or I kill you, sin is sin in the eyes of God. And we have to remember that. Oh, what wretched man I am. Even Paul said it. But I have hope today. And I don't listen to what the world tells me. There's another lie out there that says if you've backslidden and you haven't repented yet, you know how you have to go to confession in certain denominations? And they're going to tell you, say 10 Hail Marys and put this much in the plate and you're going to be absolved of your sin. First of all, I'd like to know who gave them the authority to forgive people's sins. It only belongs to God. But these are the false teachings that are out there that will send you straight to hell. So, who wants you to doubt your salvation? I'm going to close with this. I'm really close. Okay, because I understand it's only about 2 more hours. Don't worry about it. Who's the author of lies? Satan. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants to try to make you think that there is no salvation. You're wasting your time. Come on over to my side. He deceived Eve in the garden the same way, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds be led astray from the simplicity and purity of the devotion of God. Devotion of Christ, it actually says. Okay? Notice the words that we're using in God's word. The simplicity. It's just simple. It's so simple, we can't believe it. That all I have to do is get honest and say I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself, and believe that God sent his son to die for me. It's that simple. Why is it? It's really quick and easy for us to believe the lies of the world. Why is it so hard to believe this? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. So I'm going to ask you a question. You may say that this was just a review for you. But I think every message that's placed on someone's heart to bring to the congregation is because there's someone here that's doubting. I've had people in my church, no lie, who felt they didn't feel God anymore. They were relying on their salvation being the way they felt. So everybody raised their hand, almost everybody, that there was a time you doubted. Okay. You'll always be God's child. He loves you. Is this where I drop the mic? Okay. I just pray that you all have that blessed assurance and know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And there is absolutely no way, if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that you will ever be cast out. But for those here who haven't done that, let's close our eyes and let's pray. Lord, I hear your message and I understand that I am not saved. And Lord, I know that I'm a sinner in need of salvation and I cannot save myself. I choose today to believe in your scriptures that state that Jesus came, died for my sin, paid the price that I should have been paying, Lord, and the wage of that sin was death. But on the third day, you rose him, conquering death to redeem me. Lord, so I put my faith and all my hope in Jesus Christ, make him Lord of my life. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.